By the finger of God, I cast out demons. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They asked the boy in my sermon last Sunday, the bestseller about the little child who says he went to heaven for a few minutes. They asked the boy, Colton, if he had ever seen Satan. Yeah, I did, he responded once. Well, what did he look like, his parents asked. But he never answered the question. His face only grimaced into a solemn, frightened silence. And eventually, his parents stopped asking. The danger of these kinds of questions, this curiosity, which only titillates and enervates us but never enlightens us, is such that we who were once darkness have to be careful. Avoid it. Walk in the light, children of the light, in goodness and justice and truth. You may say it is the devil's job to trip us in the dark with enough of his badness and injustice and lies to make us incurious about the one thing that matters, the meaning of life. Or just to change the subject, it could be even a religious kind of curiosity of the sensational variety. Satan, the accuser, often starts with seemingly innocent curiosity. That's what he did with Eve in the garden. Remember that exorcism story I told you last month? Father Siordia always asks those who are present in the room to pray with him before he starts. Or at the very least, he says, you must be strong, and I don't want any of you to break into tears, he says to the women. And if not, you need to leave. Leave the room now. Well, Father began, and this woman, and he placed his stole over her head and started the Our Father and the act of contrition, and she reacted wildly. Remember, she beat her head against the wall and flailed her limbs and screamed, help me, Father said to the boys, the sons that were in the room. Pray, he said. Say some prayers. But they didn't know how to pray. They had been raised Novus Ordo. Well, hold her down. But all they did was to stand there dumbly and stare, mouths opened, as people might, beholding some terrible scene of an accident unfolding, fascinated in their fear. And then the devil entered into the woman's sister, the aunt of the family who was there, and then Father in turn had to exorcise her. Quite a day's work, and no one to help the poor priest. What a lesson for those of us who do not and will not pray. We may become the devil's prey. He always stops us from that kind of thoughtful prayer, lest we should ever survey the scene with faith, calmly, and with strength to ask, now, why am I here? It is easy, once you do get here, and if any of you are struggling with coming to church, it does get easier with time. It's easy, though, to get into the habit of coming here, oh, for this or that reason, but at the same time, holding back, not really believing not 100%. You're not really here. You're off somewhere else. Anywhere will do. Leaving the priest to do his work alone at the altar instead of assisting him as do the angels. Watch today. Just before the solemn canon, the priest turns quickly to you and whispers, "Orate fratres, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty." Because you see, one of the devil's more subtle strategies, did you ever think of yourself as the spiritual elite? Well, in a sense, you are, because you make it to Mass. One of his strategies for us is to keep us focused on pretty near anything but the altar, anything to separate us from God. Even if it means letting us, he will, be satisfied, kind of spiritual pride, with our paltry physical presence in the pew every 8 days without fail, but without ever asking either, just what are we doing here? What is this doing for us? What is the positive effect of prayer in my life, including the most perfect prayer, the sacrifice of the Mass? He'll try to keep us too, come confession time, from asking questions like, "What keeps me from drawing near to God?" Or, "What could I do to keep this presence of God all week long?" Or, "How could I see him, God, in others with charity?" This kind of curiosity does not suit Satan, not at all. The devil, remember, is a liar and an adversary and an accuser. Why, look, he told everybody last night, it's going to snow today. And behold, it only snowed in Kentucky, but our Kentucky cousins are a brave sort, and they've all checked in faithfully, one family after another, this morning. Some of our Ohio brethren may be a little weak because of the lie from the devil. He always wants to keep us separated. He wants to divide us because he knows that's how you bring a kingdom down, by spreading lies and accusations. Just as the serpent told Eve, God's trying to hold you back, you know. If you eat that fruit, you'll become as a god yourself. So the devil tries to convince us, God is not out for your good. He will accuse God of not caring about us, of not hearing us. And God forbid, if a prayer seems to be unanswered, here too, Satan is at work. He steals the mail, or he hides it someplace in the server so that it's very hard for us to retrieve it. If the cross casts its shadow over our lives, the devil is right there to say, prayer doesn't work. You've fallen, and you're going to fall again. Why should you try? And all of this to keep us, remember, divided from God, from each other, in isolation and resentment. Sometimes Satan spreads lies, of course, by accusing us, he despises us after all. He loves to remind us of our past sins and to magnify whatever conflict today holds, what struggle is going on in my soul right now. Or he slaps us in the face, harder than any bishop would, with our weakness, and he makes us writhe. "You're not worthy," he whispers. "You're not worthy of his love." He wants us to condemn ourselves or to settle for some lesser experience of God when, friend, you could come up higher. He'll say, "Well, look how badly you've sinned. You're not good enough for God to bother. Who do you think you are?" He lurks and he waits, even at some of the stations of the cross. You've made the stations this Lent, haven't you? I ask because Friday nights look awfully light and Wednesdays aren't much better. I haven't seen anybody, so one person this morning, making the way of the cross this Lent on her own between the masses. Perhaps you make them at home with your indulgence crucifix. After all, how could we have Lent without stations? But if you do make the stations, you're not home free. There are three he likes in particular, and he manages, I think, to hide behind the plaque. The third and the seventh and the ninth, those are the falls, the three falls. He jumps out to remind us of our own. And yes, there have been more than three. And you'll see, you'll never get up, he says, or you won't stay on your feet for very long. So why should you try? Has the blasphemy ever escaped your lips? "Well, I'm going to hell anyway." Lies, accusations, and of course, as he wants to finish us off, divisions. He plants. Satan never plants too early because this kind of a seed thrives in the frost and the cold. He plants the seed of mistrust and suspicion and resentment. Then he mulches the seedling with pride. He hedges it about with hurt. Or, has this ever happened to you? You're trying to pray, and he does nothing but make you imagine future offenses, which have never even happened. If you go along with it, that day, he pulls in a bumper crop of rotten fruit. He shades the truth about people. He overemphasizes their negatives. And he tells us how we're going to treat them coldly or we're going to cut them off. Lies, accusations, divisions. They all add up to mean you've got an unwelcome guest in your house. How are you going to get rid of him? Turn to Jesus, to his heart, and beg him with her who heard the word of God and kept it, who kneels before the throne praying for each one of us, her dear children, now and at the hour of our death. With her, beg our Lord to lift a finger, because that's all it takes to help us by his right hand, These are two scriptural images of the Holy Ghost. He comes, and when he comes, first of all, it's always to convince us of God's love. Not only up here, intellectually, or there, written on a page, but St. Paul writes to the Romans, he wants to pour God's love to overflowing into our hearts, countering all of Satan's lies with God's truth. If only we are willing not just to stand there and stare, fascinated and a little bit frightened, if we are willing to pray, to be strong, and to pray. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.